This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at wheat markets for Wednesday, January 16th. Well, yesterday wheat markets started out a little bit firm on the night session, and we came into the day session slipping a bit, and then as the day session wore on, the markets really started to kind of roll over. Led by corn and soybeans, there was a report out of Grassley's office that Lighthizer, the U.S. trade rep, starting to suggest that the trade negotiations aren't going very well. And while that's not a huge surprise in the bigger picture, it was in the shorter term, because as they came out of those meetings a couple weeks ago, there was a lot of suggesting that there was progress made and that we were getting some real detail. Well, we weren't getting details, but some real progress being made, especially in agriculture. Well, in ag, too, you know, we know that China's bought about 5 million tons of U.S. soybeans. There's been a lot of talk that they've bought corn and wheat as well, DDGs, ethanol, pork, beef, all kinds of ag products. And the general presumption was that they would buy about $50 billion worth of ag products over the next 2 years. But it was the industrial, and they were also buying industrials. They're buying some energies and other things. But the sticking points continue to be the corporate ownership for companies in China, and also intellectual property rights. Those are things that just don't seem to be getting anywhere. So as that kind of stalled out, you know, the whole trade negotiation stalls out. And of course, that's negative for the grain complex. Corn and beans were the first to kind of get hit, and wheat was pulled lower as well. So here we are, you know, back down hovering near these longer term lows that the market has held before and probably will again, but you just can't seem to get any traction to the upside. And that's been, it's been an issue for wheat. Now, we thought by this time, here we are mid-January, that we would be seeing much more export business come our way, and maybe we are. We just don't have the reports to show that. No daily reports, no weekly reports. We're kind of just flying blind here. If I were a buyer of wheat, I'd be getting it done while the government is shut down, and there's no data to move the markets either way. And also the sale last week of Russian wheat to Egypt, that was a surprise. That really came out of left field, because in late December they didn't get any of the business to Egypt. It was all Ukraine and Romania for a cargo each. So, you know, the market was kind of leaning like, well, okay, Russia's probably out of the picture. They have to source wheat all the way from Siberia, which is very unusual for them. And the government's not subsidizing transportation, so it's expensive. And it's pushing domestic prices higher. The ag minister has met with exporters twice already. And, you know, so we thought, okay, you know, the Russian sales are probably going to drop off here pretty fast. Well, clearly that didn't happen, because the first tender Egypt gives after the new year all goes to Russia for late Feb, early March delivery, 415,000 tons total. That's a lot of wheat for that time of year for Russia, when we know that they have to source it from far inland, and domestic prices are at, you know, 3 to 4 year highs. So it's odd and an eye-opener, and if indeed that's the case, then we're going to see Russia stick around for quite a while. Now, I think the Russian ag minister was caught off guard by that too, because they quickly announced that they wanted another meeting with the exporters, but they come out of that meeting saying everything's fine, and they expect exports will be still up around 35 million tons for wheat, another for the rest of the marketing year, probably about 12 million tons, which, you know, there's only 6 months left in the marketing year. So that's a couple million tons of wheat per month. You know, that's a pretty sizable number, and especially for this time of year. So you got to kind of ratchet down your expectations, unless something just happens, unless they start canceling sales or getting rejections, if quality takes a hit, I don't know. But you're going to get the better quality out of Siberia anyway, and perhaps that's why they're sourcing so far inland and probably blending it off with the poorer quality that's closer to ports. It's hard to say. We don't really get those level of details. But nevertheless, the bottom line is exporters feel they can meet those obligations. That's really what it all boils down to. Now, they're offering prices that are about $1 to $2 higher than the previous sale, which is fine. That's supporting world prices, but the bigger problem is that they're getting the business and we are not. And obviously, more time goes on, the smaller our window becomes. We're seeing some offers come out of Argentina. About 300,000 tons were requested for licenses of exports. So they are starting to come into the broader market as well. We've seen some business out of Australia, but not a lot, and we don't expect to see a lot. Argentina, on the other hand, they've got some decent size production, but their quality is going to be suspect. And we kind of got some confirmation of that. This morning, we see that Brazil is in the market as well. Usually, they just buy what they need from Argentina, especially this time of year when harvest is pretty much wrapping up for Argentina. So those are some of the supply demand things going on around the world. We're looking at weather-wise, temperatures are going to get very cold across the central part of the eastern half of the United States. That includes a big region of the Central Plains. The far western plains have been warm, so the snow cover is declining rapidly. There is some concern that you could see some winter kill, but obviously we're not going to know that yet. But it could get cold enough to stress the wheat. A lot of this wheat was planted late, so it's not well established. Soft red wheat, if you don't have good snow cover, it's much less hardy than hard red wheat. So you could see some winter kill there as well. It's going to get pretty cold. It's going to be below zero across much of the northern tier of the Midwest, stretching across Ohio, where a fair amount of wheat is grown too. So we'll see. But that is part of the concern of wheat. Obviously, not a big concern because the market was weaker yesterday throughout much of the day's session. This morning, we're up a little bit. We're up 3 in Kansas City, Minneapolis up 2, Chicago's up 4, beans are up 5, corn is up 2. So at least we're getting a bit of a bounce here. But with the government shutdown, missing a lot of data already, and looks like we're going to miss more. And with the trade negotiations kind of getting tripped up, it's kind of hard to point to anything and say this is going to be something that the market can bite into and rally. Traders are just moving to the sidelines, and you can't blame them. This is information that needs to be in the market and would be a driver of price action either up or down, but if you don't have it, you're just not going to stick your neck out very far. But I do think that we're at price levels that should support the market. We're looking, you're buying the spreads. I think hard red winter wheat plantings are going to be disappointing, so that should support Kansas City versus Chicago. Writing puts down here, you can't compress the market forever, and I think again you're at a price level where the market has held a number of times over the last several months. So compressing it beyond this level would take quite a bit of energy to the downside. And with tighter world supplies and winter weather issues, I don't see this market really breaking down. So that does present an opportunity to write some puts. Just let time work in favor of you. If you have any questions, feel free to call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.